Hey, I'm Priscilla.
And I'm Lauren.
And you're listening to the Her Next Big Move podcast.
This is a place where we will help you gain clarity on your big goals, break down those limiting beliefs that may be holding you back, and develop a solid strategy for building your dream life and business.
We are going to have vulnerable conversations about building our own business and introduce you to some of the most accomplished businesswomen we know to find out their secrets to success too.
Our goal is to leave you feeling inspired and give you the confidence to make
your next big move.
All right, and we're back.
The official intro, I feel like.
That's our kickoff. I do feel like it's definitely the official intro. I have a hot take today.
Oh, give it to me.
I have been feeling like for so long, like creating a business, doing a business, like all of these different things, like everybody has this like picture perfect view on it. Like you have to be wearing, you know, the blazer and the suit and the heels, and you have to say the right thing at the right time. You have to have the perfect sales pitch. You have to do, like, it's been like, that's how I viewed it. And I think that's how so many people view business. But my hot take is that business should be comfy. Business should sometimes not be so serious. Business should actually be fun.
Yeah.
I think that's why you like go out to like start your own business. Like you don't want to be so stuffy. You don't want to like all of these things that I hear all of the time, including like how I felt. And I'm like, no, the like actual reason is to like be able to show up and work in sweats if I want to show up at work in sweats.
Yeah.
To like show up and like have a drink if I want to have a drink. To like go and like have fun with my clients. To have fun with my team. To like actually enjoy life, enjoy business, enjoy it all, and just have a little fun and let loose sometimes and like live life by my own terms.
Yeah. So
that's how I'm feeling today. That's my hot take.
I like that. And I think it's so true. I think that's like the whole point of being an entrepreneur and starting your own thing is like being able to create that like company culture. And I think things have been shifting for a while now. You know, it's like the old paradigm, the old like image of what people think business should be, of like the buttoned up, like, you know, very professional kind of atmosphere has all shifted.
Yes.
And I feel like now it's much more about like community within like the culture. It's much more about connecting. It's much more about bonding with your team. And like, that's the like forefront, thank God, versus like these things that didn't really matter.
Yeah. I'm like, of course I'm like a girl. I love to put a blazer on. I love to put my heels on, get dressed up and go to a meeting and feel like a boss and like all of these things. But that's not my complete identity.
Yeah.
And I feel like for so long I was like, no, I want to like show up in this way. I want people to only view me in this way. And like, but I'm like, it's just not really authentic to like who I actually am. And I think who I actually am is where I'm like the most authentic and where I connect with people the best.
Yeah. Well, and it's like this balance, right? It's like you said, you can put on a blazer and heels and like have your boss moment, but you can also be in sweats and still be a boss.
Yeah.
And it's like having the best of both worlds, I think, is like the beauty of being able to create your own thing and being able to really have your own like standards of like what's truly important in your company.
Yeah. It was so much fun. I mean, I think last night was a perfect example. We started introducing these like team bonding socials that one of our team members actually had suggested in one of our just like evaluation meetings that we have. Like, what can we do better? Like, what would just make this like even better place to work? And she was like, well, I just want to get to know everybody on the team. Maybe that I don't get to work with on a day-to-day basis because of what my role is versus like what their role is. And I want to get to know everybody better. It's like, wow, why didn't we think about that?
Yeah.
but this is why you ask the questions. And so we started introducing these like team bondings this year. And I feel like it's so much fun. It's one of the best things that like we've done, truly.
Yeah, they really are. And I think it really has been this like authentic way for everyone to be able to build like friendships too.
Yeah.
And I think when people genuinely not only get along, but like enjoy working with each other, it just produces better results. Yeah. And so it's like a win-win all around.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love these two. We went bowling last night, but we do it different every month. Yeah. Like we try to make it different and fun mm-hmm. and unique. Mm-hmm. Our last one was at a virtual arcade.
Which was so much fun.
I know. It was just like a good time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's like I said, having that balance of both. Mm-hmm. It can be really fun and you can be serious and you can still get a lot of stuff done like all in the same breath.
Yeah. It's like this energy pool and you get to know each other on deeper levels. I mean, last night was so fun. We were like talking about all of our astrology signs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and one person on the team is like, can
so good at reading the signs and knows everything.
Yeah. And so we're going into it. I mean, and like, even the like people from the restaurant that had like invited us in, they were like sitting with us and having a good time. And it just made me so excited because I'm like, oh, this is so good. Like, we are synonymous. Our brand is synonymous with like having fun. And where else would you want to work? Where else would you want to be? Who else would you want to be like connected to with like people who are synonymous to like having fun and being successful at the same time?
Absolutely.
The best of both worlds.
Yeah. Well, and it's like life's too short to not have fun. Yeah. Life's too short to not be like happy and thrilled with what you're doing. Yeah. And I think that when you do put out that energy, you attract it back, first of all.
Yes.
But also, yeah, things move faster because you're mm-hmm. operating at like a higher frequency.
Yeah. It doesn't like business doesn't have to be. I think like it's old news, like business, like sitting and just like kind of like
stale
crunching and, like, away and like being and can't wait to get off. I can't wait to finish this thing because I just can't wait to get away from this versus like, no, like business can be fun. Life can be fun. Like it can all be a good time. Like it is what you make it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is what you tell yourself too. And it's like you have the freedom and the personal power to choose that. Mm-hmm. And so when you hear people like, you know, complaining or unhappy about what they're doing, it's like, well, then change, pivot.
Yeah.
And the beauty is that like you can, you know, move into a direction that is fulfilling, that is like lighting you up. And it's night and day difference.
So different.
I think we've all been there where we've had that job that we're like, oh my God, I do not want to go to work today.
Yes.
I can't believe I have to go back tomorrow. Yeah. Like this is torture. Versus doing something that really fuels you up. It's such a difference in like how you show up, the work you produce, and just like your energy you're putting out.
Yeah. It's so true. I'm like, I think back to some of my like old jobs. Like, I mean, I've had so many different jobs. My first ones, maybe hosting, you know, at a restaurant to what we do today. I think there's such a wide variety, but I can pinpoint the ones where I'm like, I know I was not having a good time.
Yeah.
Do you have any of those too?
I do. My first like two jobs were just so not aligned, and not to knock them, there's nothing wrong with it, but like for me, it wasn't right. And the first one was working in retail, specifically in this kids store, which, oh my Lord, I learned like keep me away from all the masses of children. They are destructive in retail. Like they are picking everything up. They're dropping everything. Like you just folded a whole pile of clothes. No, that's torn through. That's gone. Like, you better just start over. Like, that was torture. I think I only lasted, like, 2 weeks, and I was like, I'm done. So that one was bad. Yeah, Justice. It was, like, the spinoff of Limited 2. So for a reference for people, that age of child is specific.
It is specific. So
that one, I was like, yep, nope, not for me. And then the second one was I was, like, a hostess at a restaurant. Oh my God, I never realized how like fussy people were with like wanting to sit in a specific seat. And now I like have so much respect for them at restaurants because I'm like, I'll sit wherever you tell me to. I'm not going to argue. But like, oh my God, all those little details. I was just like, yeah, this really doesn't light me up.
Yeah,
like this is like, I got to drag my ass to the restaurant to get in there. It was like, was one of those. So yeah, those were my two.
That's so funny. I never worked in retail. I feel like I would have been probably similar
to
you.
Brutal.
I don't think I could have survived. I don't think it's like aligned with who I am.
Yeah. I have respect for people that last in retail.
Oh my gosh.
It takes a lot of patience.
Yes. So much. I can only imagine. I remember one of my very first jobs. Well, like I like kind of worked all growing up because my dad was an entrepreneur. And so like I was always his sidekick. So I was always selling.
Oh my God. Your dad's hilarious. You have to tell some of those stories too.
Oh my gosh. Well, I remember there was this one time vividly. So my dad had a candle company, and it was called, like, he had like a very successful career. And so he was kind of retired by this point. Well, whenever I was younger anyway,
he's got too much energy to retire.
Oh, he can't. Like, he just like, he's like travels, but then he like wants to like make money. He likes making money too. And yeah. So he won this candle company in like a poker game, like all of his friends. And so he won this candle company. And so he got all of
who is gambling candles. A candle company in a poker game.
I'm telling you, all of his friends are like they own business.
He's like, I'm going to put my company on the line.
No, he used to have these poker nights at our house. Like, so he would like, it was like a thing they did like every month. Like all the guys came over and my dad had poker nights at our house. And so they would all come and he would clear out the living room and just put the poker table in the middle of the room. And I was the bartender. And keep in mind, I'm like 9 years old probably.
And this is Texas. So I feel like anything goes there.
And so I would make all of their drinks and I would get tips.
Oh my God, I'm dead.
And they would give me money because I would, of course, I'm like, I don't know how to really make a drink.
See,
like,
business can be fun.
It can be fun. And literally,
get your kids to bring you drinks.
I just remember I would make so much money on these poker nights and I would save it all to like go buy whatever I wanted to buy or whatever. But my dad would always teach me, like, I would have to make the money. I didn't get like an allowance or anything. Like, yeah. I would have to make my own money. And to go do the things I wanted to do.
You got
to
get creative sometimes.
Exactly. I mean, I remember I used to like, me and my like girlfriends, I would get them all together and I would like, we would get something to sell and we would go up and down the streets, like, and knock on all of our neighbors' door and sell shit. I don't know what it
was. Mini hustlers.
Oh, 1,000%. And then there was this one time where my dad had the candle. So he'd won the candle company and he put all the candles in the back of his red pickup truck and he would drive around like our hometown and he would sell them. And he had all these accounts and like he would sell them. But during the summer, I would go along with him. And there was this one account. It was this beauty salon. And he always tells the story to this day. He was like, all right, Prissy. Everybody calls me Prissy back home. You can either go in there and I'll give you $20 just to sell it. Like, just to like straight, like, I'll just give you $20 just to go in there and sell. Or you can make commission. And anything that you sell, you get to keep. But if you don't sell anything, then you don't make any money. And I'm like, I'm like, I think I'll go commission.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think I'll go commission. Cause it's like $5 a candle. The big ones were like $10 or whatever. And I'm like, I can sell a couple candles.
Yeah.
I go in there and I just remember he was sitting in the truck and I like go in with a whole bag of candles and I'm probably like 11 years old at this point. And I'm like, I go in there and I sell like over $100 worth of candles. Like, I keep going in, coming out, getting more. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm selling. I'm like, I need this.
Like, I'm working.
I'm like, I need this scent and this scent and this scent. And he just remembers it to this day. And he's like, whoa, we need to renegotiate. I'm like, absolutely not. I'm like, commission, baby.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really like stuck in my head for the rest of my life. So I loved those jobs, even though at the time I kind of hated going around with my dad selling. Once I started making money, I was like, this is interesting. And then I like got to like actually get jobs because I wanted jobs like all of like my friends had. And so I went and I got this, my first job. It was a hostess job at Babe's Chicken House. I loved Babe's Chicken. I like going in there and like eating. It was like the best ever. It was like family style and it was like fried chicken and green beans and like it was like the best, like so good. Like everybody went there for their birthdays and stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, that would be fun to work there. No, it was not fun to work
totally
there.
Totally different.
They like rotated hosts to where you would be like a host, like greeting people there was a host outside in the freezing cold. You'd have to be there like shivering, like welcome people into Babe's Chicken House. I'm like, this is the worst thing ever. Then you'd be the host inside, which like wasn't as bad. And then you rotated to be the spoon girl.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I had to do that too.
The spoon girl?
The napkin rollers.
I'm like, why would anybody sign up? I'm like, I would rather be slinging candles than like sitting back there for like 5 hours just putting spoons and mashed potatoes. I hate it. I lasted, I think, a month. I was like, wow. At that point, I'm like, I can do so much more than this. And then I transitioned and I started selling lemon chills, which were like, have you ever had a lemon chill?
No, is that like ice cream?
It's kind of like a lemon, like it's a lemon like sherbet that's like in a tub and you eat them at like baseball games and like football games.
Yeah.
Okay. The people that walk up and down the stands
sell
you.
Mm-hmm.
I got that job.
Okay.
And I was like, because my other friend Mackenzie, she had started working there and she was making a ton of money because we were like these cute like 15-year-old girls that were like walking up and down and it was like all these like older men and everything. And then it's just like us. And she was making so much money because everybody would tip. Everybody's drinking at these games and you would just make so many tips. I would make hundreds of dollars like every selling these lemon chills, which we made commission on. And then you made like a base and then you made all of your like tips. I left Babe's Chicken House so fast and I worked at the Ranger Stadium and I moved up to being, once I hit 18, a margarita girl and I could sell margaritas
next level.
And I made so much money. It was so funny, but I loved that job and I enjoyed going and it was so much fun. And like, and I made so many friends and I was just walking up and I was like, and even if it was like 100 and something degrees in Texas, it was still fun. I mean, it was so much fun. And I think those moments, it gave me like the difference of what it's like to like love what you do and have fun. And mm-hmm. you can make money when you're like having fun versus like, I was limited. I didn't have a lot of room to grow whenever I was spoon girl at Babe's Chicken House. And I was like, got it. I know how I'm moving through life, baby.
Yep. Babe put a ceiling on you for sure.
It did.
I think you like really do make more too when you're having fun.
Yes.
And when you're like genuinely enjoying what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And when you get to like, you know, be around friends and like it's a fun environment.
Yeah.
I think that all comes into play. But it sounds like you learned a lot of the foundational stuff
mm-hmm.
at an early, early age.
Yeah.
So definitely. What's like one thing you would say is like stuck with you since like candle slanging days that maybe you apply today in our business?
Well, I think I use so much of what I learned from my dad specifically in business, just mm-hmm. in business like today. I think it was a lot of that, like that one day when I decided to take the commission versus just taking the safe route mm-hmm. of like guaranteeing the $20 versus saying but like I know what else is a possibility too. And I think it was just such an interesting moment for me and very strategic on my dad's, and he was clearly trying to teach me something and it stuck with me and it showed me what was possible and that like I didn't limit myself and that I could, if I wanted to do it, I could do it.
Yeah.
And so I think that was a lot of what I learned growing up in the candle days. I mean, the other thing too was like the way my dad ran that candle company was so smart. I mean, he was like, whenever he used to be an Elvis impersonator too, back in the day, he was like his own manager. He would book all of his own gigs, like all throughout the country.
Wait, we just have to tell everyone about that. You can't just like drop that bomb and then not tell everyone. Yes.
Yeah.
Rick Presley was the Elvis for a minute, hence where Priscilla Presley came from.
Yeah. I mean, I learned so much from him because he was like, right. He was like one of the top salesmen at IBM and Xerox, which were like mm-hmm. big, big companies still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, you know, do all that. But he was in a suit and tie. It was mm-hmm. very serious. He wanted to have more fun. He was like recording his own music because he liked to sing. And he was selling them in the IBM and Xerox offices. And he kept getting in trouble. And he didn't like that because he was like, I want to have fun. Everybody's too serious here. You had to wear like a pressed, like new, like pinstripe suit every day. You had to look the part to sell these like really, really expensive like equipment and things like that to mm-hmm. all of these like major companies. And so he could do that, but didn't mean he liked it or had fun doing it. He actually had this like spirit within him that was like so much different than that.
Yeah.
And so he didn't like that. And then he like went to like a pool, like a company pool party, like our team social events.
Yeah.
But at the company pool parties, he didn't know you had to wear a white button-up shirt. Like everybody had to look
the even same. At the, like,
even at the team, company wow. pool party. So he came up with a Hawaiian shirt on and they wouldn't let him in. They wow. wouldn't let him into the company like pool party.
Wow.
And because it made him stand out and it too much. And they sent him home. And then when he came back with a button up shirt, that he could come.
Wow.
And he just really started thinking on that. And that's when he was like, he went to an Elvis Presley concert and they, he took his wife at the time and she went crazy. And he was like, I just paid money and this guy's having the time of his life. Like, women are like oohing and awing over him. Like, what the hell? He's like, I can do that. Like, that's my spirit. Like, that's what I would love to do.
Yeah.
And he literally went to like his boss and he was a top salesman. So they definitely didn't want to lose him, but he was like, I quit. And he was, they were like, what do you mean you quit? He's like, I hate this. I'm not having fun.
Yeah.
You don't let me wear the Hawaiian shirt. You don't let me sell my, like, yeah. my records that I really love doing. Like, I can't be me. Yeah. And he quit and he literally went and booked a hall, like a dance hall to like be an Elvis Presley impersonator. He had his mom make him a jumpsuit and he started being his own publicist. He went to every radio station, dropped off his record, like put all of these, like, I mean, he still had the snippets and all of the, like, from the newspapers and stuff to this day, where he filled out this whole like place for his first gig out of it. And there's no like reason why he was so successful there, but like where he was really like, where he saw the most success was like doing this like silly Elvis thing, but yeah. he was having the time of his life. And that's what carried him through everything. So all of his stories and things that he teaches me about like life and business is what I try to like hold on to, is like, have fun. Like, you could be successful, quote unquote, doing anything from mm-hmm. whatever other people like to be doing. But like, what where it really lights your soul on fire, where you're really having fun and like making a lot of money. He made more money doing Elvis than he did at IBM or Xerox, because
yeah.
he figured out how to do it because he was having so much fun. It just lit him on fire.
Yeah.
And that carried into everything he did from there, from like owning his own like laser companies to like owning a candle company to DJing pool parties like to this day. It's like, he just has so much fun. And from that, he's been able to, you know, live the life that he wants to. And I think that's what I've really learned from him, seeing him in business too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's so many little things to take from that too, right? Yeah. So many pages to take out of Rick Presley's book. He is yeah. a hoot. He yeah. is hilarious. And I think that it's so mm-hmm. true. And it's such a like testament of like, when you're having fun and you're really excited, mm-hmm. you're gonna work harder, you're gonna figure it out, you're yes. gonna like go above and beyond because you're lit up. And mm-hmm. I think when your passion becomes like an obsession in a healthy way, that's when it's really able to take off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you see like founders and business owners really scale their company because that like healthy obsession of like being in love with it mm-hmm. and like pouring everything into it.
Yeah.
And you can tell the difference. I think you can tell the difference of like what, you know, you're producing. You can tell like how you're like outwardly acting towards other people and people mm-hmm. within your team.
Yeah.
It's such a night and day difference. And I think probably anybody listening can relate that, you know, mm-hmm. you've, everyone's had that job or that position or even that circumstance maybe where it wasn't fun. It wasn't like that. It wasn't lighting you up. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a contrast, I think. And I think that truly when you like flip over to the other side of making something really fun, where you are able to kind of have that like infectious energy, mm-hmm. you bring it all back in and then you start like really growing that and like cultivating that around you too.
Yeah. I think it's like something I've always known, but I don't know, something has just clicked recently. And as we talk, as we're always talking about Ford Female and like what it is and who we're like, who we're aligned with, I think it was, we were just having a meeting and we were like, business should be fun.
Yeah.
Like, what are we trying to say? It's like, business should be fun.
Yeah.
And it can be fun and it should be. And like, that's what it should feel like. And like, that's what we want to create. Like, we want to help people understand that and live that.
Yeah.
And I'm even more excited than I ever have been before to like lean into the message that we're sharing, which is that.
Absolutely. And hopefully inspiring and empowering women and people just to go after it. Because it's like I said, life is too short and you are your only limitation. And so if you're not really going for it, you're not shooting for like the star and moon, you aren't going to be able to really feel fulfilled at the end of the day. Your soul is going to know the difference that like, oh, like this doesn't really light me up and I'm scared to go for it versus like, I'm going to make the leap. I'm going to step out and I'm going to just figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, I think it's Marie Folio that everything is figure outable. And I love that phrase because it's so true. It's like, yeah, things can get, you know, difficult and challenging, but like everything is figure outable. It's like you can step through things and get to the other side. But if you go through it with passion and with energy, it's going to be rocket fuel to get you there a lot faster.
Yeah. The authenticity component, I think, is so crucial. Understanding what is fun to you, like what is happiness to you, what is the thing that you really, how you really want to be. And I think, once that is like figured out, gosh, like there's so much opportunity there.
Absolutely. And nowadays you can really turn anything into a business. It's like starting with that of like what really makes you happy and like what your gifts and skills are can really help you kind of go into that path and see really clearly if you're aligned with what you're doing now or if you're not.
Yeah.
If there's nothing on your list, or I mean, if you're not doing anything that's on your list, then you're probably not totally aligned with like what you're doing. If it's not actually making you happy and something you enjoy doing, it's probably not going to last forever.
Right.
It's not going to keep you going.
Yeah. So true. So true. Wow. I'm like, I love this combo and I hope it inspires anybody that's listening today to like do the thing that like is the most authentic to you. Have fun.
Wear
the sweats. Go do the thing. Go bowling. Go whatever it is. Go have fun. Go have fun today. And we're cheering you on.
Absolutely.
Yay. Bye. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
That concludes this episode of Her Next Big Move podcast. Everything that we discussed in today's episode and for more information on Forward Female can be found in the show notes below and on our website, forwardfemale.com. We want to thank everyone who helped this episode come together and you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit subscribe, leave us a review, and come hang out with us on our socials.